Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's really good to see so many people here this afternoon at our Carols by Candlelight, and we're really pleased to be able to welcome our friends from Fuller Baptist and from Rockingham Road Baptist Church this afternoon. And it really is a joint service this afternoon, because we've got people from all the churches are going to be doing readings and joining in with some of the musical numbers and things that we've got as well. So I hope you'll enjoy it. After the service this afternoon, we've got mince pies and drinks and things in the back room. And if nobody tells you beforehand, I've been instructed that you have to go through that door to get them and come out of that door once you've got your mince pies and drinks, etc. So that's going to be after the service this afternoon. So we're going to run the service straight through without a break, so there won't be kind of any announcements or anything like that. So people will come up and sit down and do some readings, and all of the songs and the carols and things will be on the screen behind me as well. First of all, though, we're going to ask people from Carey, Rockingham Road and Fuller to come up and to light our Advent candle. I'm just going to read a few words just to explain what the third candle that we've lit actually means. It says, we light the third candle to remind us of John the Baptist and all of God's messengers who prepared the way for the coming of our Saviour. God of grace, equip us, we pray, for our calling. Open our eyes to your word. Open our ears to your call. Open our hand to give what we can and are. And open our hearts to wonder at the glory of your love, and so help us to see the world and others as Jesus sees them. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Amen.
Thank you. if I can see now. So the first reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you, as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And I now read from Isaiah 11, verse 1 to 5. The royal line of David is like a tree that has been cut down. But just as new branches sprout from a stump, so a new king will arise from among David's descendants. The Spirit of the Lord will give him wisdom and the knowledge and skill to rule his people. He will know the Lord's will and honour him and find pleasure in obeying him. He will not judge by appearance or hearsay. He will judge the poor fairly and defend the rights of the helpless. At his command, the people will be punished and evil persons will die. He will rule his people with justice and integrity. Amen.
Oh, Our second reading is taken from Micah chapter 5, verses 2 to 4. God promises a ruler from Bethlehem. The Lord says, Bethlehem, Ephratah, you are the one of the smallest towns in Judah, but out of you I will bring a ruler for Israel, whose family line goes back to ancient times. So the Lord will abandon his people to their enemies until the woman who is to give birth has her son. Then those Israelites who are in exile will be reunited with their own people. When he comes, he will rule his people with strength that comes from the Lord and with the majesty of the Lord God himself. His people will live in safety because people all over the earth will acknowledge his greatness.
Okay, I'm confused now because the numbers up there are not the numbers that I've got down here. And those that know me will know how confusing that is. So I've got Luke chapter 1, 26 to 38. There's always one, isn't there? It's always me. During the time when Herod was king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife's name was Elizabeth. She also belonged to a priestly family. They both lived good lives in God's sight and obeyed fully all God's laws and commands. They had no children because Elizabeth could not have any, and she and Zechariah were both very old. One day, Zechariah was doing his work as a priest in the temple, taking his turn in the daily service. According to the custom followed by the priests, he was chosen by lot to burn incense on the altar. So he went into the temple of the Lord. While the crowd of people outside prayed during the hour when the incense was burnt, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right of the altar where the incense was burnt. When Zechariah saw him, he was alarmed and felt afraid. But the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You are to name him John. How glad and happy you will be, and how happy many others will be when he is born. He will be a great man in the Lord's sight. He must not drink any wine or strong drink. From his very birth he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and he will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go ahead of the Lord, strong and mighty like the prophet Elijah. He will bring fathers and children together again. He will turn disobedient people back to the way of thinking of the righteous. He will get the Lord's people ready for him." Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this is so? I am an old man, and my wife is also old." "I am Gabriel," the angel answered. "I stand in the presence of God who sent me to speak to you, and I tell you this good news. But you have not believed my message, which will come true at the right time. Because you have not believed, you will be unable to speak, and you will remain silent until the day my promise to you comes true." In the meantime, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he was spending such a long time in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them, and so they knew that he had seen a vision in the temple. Unable to say a word, he made signs to them with his hands. When his period of service in the temple was over, Zechariah went back home. Sometime later, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and did not leave the house for 5 months. "Now at last the Lord has helped me," she said. "He has taken away my public disgrace." Amen.
Good evening, church. The reading is from Luke 1, verse 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Amen.
Thank you. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us.
Thank you.
birth of Jesus. Okay. The birth of Jesus. At the time, the Emperor Augustus ordered a census that he to be taken through the Roman Empire. When the first census took over, Quirinus was the governor of Syria. Everyone then went to register himself, each in his own town. Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to the town of Bethlehem in Judea, the birthplace of King David. Joseph went there because he was a descendant of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was promised to be married to him. She was pregnant at the time, and while they were there in Bethlehem, she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, wrapped him in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger. There was no room for them to stay in the inn. Okay, well done. Amen. Amen.